right, everybody, come on in. Time for church to start. Let's find a seat, everybody. Well, happy Turkey Tuesday. I felt kind of weird today on Tuesday, knowing I was coming to church tonight. It just kind of felt odd, you know? But I'm glad you were here. How many of y'all are ready for Thanksgiving? Anybody?
Yes.
I am. I'm ready to eat, so I hope Margo gets cooking real soon.
I'm not ready.
But it's good to have you tonight, so come on in, grab a seat. A couple quick announcements for you, and live streamers, it's good to have you wherever you're watching from. We do have youth hangout tonight, okay, so as soon as worship's over, you'll be following Justice back there, and of course, we do have Kids Church with Miss Mandy, so kids can check in with her. But a couple things. Don't forget, ladies, all the ladies, this Saturday at 9 a.m., we have ladies' coffee. So come on out, ladies, and hang out for a time of fellowship and just getting just some good times, right? Saturday at 9 a.m. And then certainly also for the ladies, we have the cookie exchange on December the 7th, and that sign-up sheet is getting yanked, so if you miss it after tonight, you're out. You can't come. So anybody complains about that, you can see the boss, all right? So anyways, cookie exchange for ladies, December the 7th at 2 p.m., and the sign-up sheet's going away after tonight just so they can prep for it. Then the day after that, on December the 8th, Sunday right after church, we have church Christmas party right here. And what you can do is bring a side dish or a good dessert to share. And if you want to participate, the youth will have a White Elephant gift exchange. They have a $5 limit for that. And the adults are going to do a gift exchange also, limit of $10 for that. And if you want to participate, you don't have to, or you can just find something laying in your yard. You can wrap that up and bring that too. All right. So it'll be a good time. That's December the 8th, right after church. So having said that, how about we worship Jesus tonight? Sound good? All right, everybody stand up on our feet.
So that he's with me even though I walk through the valley of shadow and death, and still I know he has good plans. He has good plans for me. So I will take heart in deserts and gardens. Falling short, Lord, I pray that we bring to you what we do have.
it, Lord. You are still worthy of our praise. I pray, God, that you would be what we are striving for, Lord, that you are who we are running to when things aren't going right, and that you are who we are running to when things are going right. We're thankful for you, God. We're thankful for the price that you paid. We're thankful that you called us forth, Lord, that you first loved us.
Nice to see you.
All right. Well, we'll give them time to get kids checked in downstairs and youth hang out and what they're doing tonight. But as they're doing that, you can prepare your tithe and offering. By the way, if you weren't here Sunday and you have a Thanksgiving offering to give, you can grab one of those yellow envelopes from the ushers. You can wave your hand around. And we'll still be receiving a Thanksgiving offering here for another week or so. All right, so make sure you do that. But normal tithe and offering envelopes are in the chairs in front of you. And go ahead and take a moment to fill those out. And as you're doing that, real quick, if you were not here Sunday and you want one of these Christmas devotions entitled The Wondrous Story, wave your hand around, and they'll help you out with that. And Advent starts this Sunday, December 1st, and that's when this devotion starts, December 1st. It's a devotion that walks you through 25 days up through Christmas Day, and then it points you to a look towards Easter. So anyhow, that's what's in these. So if you want one of those, wave your hand around, or you can grab one after church tonight. And again, that starts, the reading starts this coming Sunday morning. And we'll begin our Christmas series Sunday morning, believe it or not. And I'm looking forward to that. It's entitled The Name. So that's what we're going to be talking about in the month of December. And it actually is the beginning of not just our Christmas series on Sunday, but it's the beginning of a series about Jesus that we will be in through next fall on Sunday, believe it or not. And we're actually going to start a journey of talking about the genuine Jesus starting Sunday morning. And have you ever, I know Tish has done this, she's actually done something for the church. Have you ever gotten an old piece of furniture and then you took time to remove everything that was put on it to get down to the original piece, the lacquer and the stain, and you get, we want to take time over the next several months getting down to the genuine Jesus to start to remove the assumptions and maybe some of the wrong ideas, and get down to him scripturally. And we'll be spending time talking about, in January, his table manners. Remember, people got mad at him for the people he ate with. We're going to talk about his table manners. And we're going to spend time in the spring. We're going to take about 12 weeks and walk through the Sermon on the Mount coming up, about the teachings of Jesus. And so we're going to spend a lot of time about Jesus, because We want to know him. And I want to know him more. And one of the greatest prayers that I pray in my life is a simple prayer. Lord, I just want to know you. And I want to know your heart. I want to be close to your heart. I want to capture your mind. I want to know your thinking. I want your wisdom. And to get through that stuff, sometimes we got to clear some stuff away. I've found, and it's not that I grew up in churches that had a bunch of wrong teaching, but I have found the more I grow in my faith, sometimes I unpack some stuff. Maybe some assumptions or things that I thought or things somebody did say that I carried along with me, what I thought was my understanding of my faith, and eventually I say, hey, that's not really here. So I put my suitcase down, I take it out, leave it on the side of the road, I pack back up, and I keep going. Listen to me, I'm going to tell you something, and some of you may say, what? But if you think about what I'm saying, I think it'll be true. Even if you've been saved for a long time, if Jesus still doesn't surprise you, I'm assuming you're probably not growing into him as much as you should be. In other words, if you think you have him figured out, I question that. How many of you have ever had read the C.S. Lewis books, Lion, Witch, and Wardrobe, or seen this? Okay. There's a scene, I don't remember the characters at this point anymore, I have to look it up. It's near the end of the series. Remember in the books, the movies, Aslan represents Jesus, the lion, right? And there's some that are watching him from a distance, and he's on the beach. And they're watching him walk. And whatever the conversation was, I think it was about when he's going to come back and do they know when or something like this. And one of the characters makes a statement, well, he's not a tame lion. The moment you think you have him all figured out, that means you thought you've tamed him. You don't tame Jesus. He is the creator of all. And I find the more I dig into him, sometimes he just surprises me a little bit. And I go, my goodness, I've been doing this for a long time and I'm still learning. I'm just still discovering his heart, knowing his mind. And I think that's one of the things that drives me continually in my faith, is that there's still more to learn. That there's still times that I'm in scriptures that I've read, listen, 100 times or more. I'll say 100 times, guarantee more than that. And I still go, oh my goodness, that just jumped off at me. You know what I mean? So we're going to be spending a few months here talking about Jesus himself. And I'm looking forward to it. But it starts Sunday morning. I didn't tell you that. I'll talk more of that. Really, when we come to January, we're going to talk more about it. But I want to know Jesus in a way that removes all my assumptions, all these different things that may be cluttered up. I want to get through the lacquer and the stain and get down to the real business of who this man is that was fully man, but fully God. And if you want to, and I'll talk about this Sunday a little bit, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. There's never been a time that God was not like Jesus. Right? God is like Jesus, and Jesus is like God, and always has, and always will be. So if you want to know what God is like, well, let's check out Jesus, because he is the fullness of God in flesh. So I'm preaching my message for Sunday right now. So let's get back to tonight. Tithe and offering. My brain just went, whew. You know why? Because I've just been studying, and I've been writing notes down. And so what I do is, when I have a series in my mind, and the Holy Spirit's quickening my heart about stuff, I'll be anywhere, and I'll be jotting something down on a piece of paper or a napkin, and then when I pull all my stuff together, I got like this mosaic of stuff on my desk, and I start to hone it. I just love that. It's fun. So I'm looking forward to this coming Sunday morning. All right. Let me pray. You can bring your offering down. Lord, we thank you to be in your house, to learn about you, to know you more, but also, Lord, to be obedient to you. And to walk in what it means to follow you. And Lord, our finances are a part of it. We give of our tithe the first fruit that comes into our life and the increase and the offerings, the thing you place in our heart, Lord. I pray that you take these things and do wonderful things for the kingdom with them. And I thank you for that comes into the house, the faithfulness of the church. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. So if you have it, you can bring it. And while we're doing that, Kelly, put up that slide for me, the black background one that says strengthening the church. And yeah, let me remind you tonight. Tonight's kind of like a fun night for me. It's always fun to come to church for me. But tonight's kind of a fun night for me. The yellow. We are a church on what? Now, I know live streamers, let me, you're just going to have to roll with this for a minute here. We are going to jump into the scriptures in just a second. I want one or two people to tell me what it means to you that we're a church on mission. Anybody? Real quick. What just jumps out of your heart real fast? Yes, Tish. Yeah, being a light. Sharing the gospel, that is a church on mission. And you know it's not hard. Don't make this difficult. Tell people about Jesus. Right? Okay, anything else that goes with that? Church on mission? No, Tish got a second one. All right. Throw it out there, Tish. Ah, so we are sharing the gospel. At the same time, we were talking about the series on generosity the last three Sundays. We're also in love showing the gospel in good deeds. And you do those two things, you've in a large part grabbed hold of what we are to do when we are not here. So the first thing is we strengthen the church. That's why you're here on Tuesday night, Turkey Tuesday, the week of Thanksgiving. You came to church because we are being strengthened together. So we strengthen the church. We pay attention to our community, which ultimately is starting to reach the world. And when we do those things together, we'll be a church on mission. Amen? Amen. Let's make this as easy as possible. Come to church and get strengthened. Then get on mission when you leave. So the old youth facility where I was a youth pastor for a long time, I put above the door, so we had a youth sanctuary. It used to be a gym. We turned it into a youth sanctuary. And there was a double brown doors that went out. It's sort of like the doors right there. And above that door, I had printed just the scripture. It wasn't the actual wording of it, but the reference to the Great Commission. I wanted those students, every time they walked out, to be reminded of, when I'm leaving this room, I'm heading out on the Great Commission. Right? Maybe we ought to do that over that door. Remind you, we come to be strengthened, and when we leave this place, we're on mission. Amen? All right, second, throw up the second one for me. Let me remind you of this. This is the scripture that the Lord put in my heart a couple months ago, maybe. That I believe is the season that we're in. Amos chapter 9. And this is talking about restoration of things of Israel, but the Lord dropped it on my heart for us. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when the reaper, the one who brings in the harvest, will be overtaken by the guy who's planting the next season. And the planter, the one who's doing that, by the one who's treading the harvest. See, new wine will drip from the mountains and flow from all the hills. So I believe there is a season, that we're in a season, that for some of you that have been looking for a breakthrough in your life, that we're in the season where you can say, finally. I've been praying. I've been tarrying. I've been bringing this prayer back to the Lord, like the widow who kept going to the unjust judge until finally he gave her a good response. That there's things you've been grabbing a hold of, you've been believing for, you've been in patience about, you've been in perseverance about, and we're in the season that all the plowing that you're doing is going to be overtaken by the reaper, and while the reaping's happening, you're going to be plowing again and sowing. Amen. So believe. Now, I don't, and I think you guys you guys have been in this church for a long time. Let me tell you something. There's one thing that I hate in church is when the people leading the church are fake because they always have to say something to hype you up. Drives me crazy. I'm not here to hype you up. I'm not here to make you shout. I'm not here to, in other words, I'm not coming every week with something new like this to make you get excited. So, but you know, when I do say this stuff, it's coming from my spirit. You see what I'm getting at? My job is not to get a response from you. My job is to build you. I'm not here to say things for a response. I don't care. I'm here to strengthen you. So when I say the Lord drops something on my heart that's an encouraging thing like this, you know it's coming from a right motivated place, because I'm just not always up here just saying this stuff just so I can make you feel good. Not my job. And there's a lot of people out there, all they do is just try to hype people up and make them feel, and they promise a bunch of stuff that the Holy Spirit is not saying. Amen. And you're not going to get that from me. That means when I do say something, take it to your heart. Because I don't say this stuff haphazardly. You're in these seasons. Listen to me. Grab hold. God is doing something. All right? My rant's done. Philippians chapter 1. I love Turkey Tuesday. You know why? Because I do the exact same thing every year. So if you remember last Turkey Tuesday, we're on the same road. Philippians chapter 1. Thankfulness. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. Paul writing to the church in Philippi. And Paul says this sort of thing in a few of his epistles, in a few of the letters that we have here in our New Testament. So Philippians 1:3 says, I thank, everybody say thank. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Well, you know what I love about that? We're in a week of Thanksgiving. My hope is that on Thursday you have a day of rest. If you have family to be with, that you have a good time with your family. I hope in all my heart that you have something good to eat. You know, I hope it's just a good day. But I hope that it is a day of remembrance for you and thanksgiving in your heart, right? But I want to highlight here, listen, I want you to know, and everybody here to know, I know it's Turkey Tuesday, a lot of people aren't here tonight. I want you to know that I am thankful for each one of you. And I want you to know that I'm thankful for you in my prayers because we partner together in the work of the gospel. Right? And the church, as a pastor, the church is not a burden to me in that sense. I carry a burden for the church, but the people of the church are not a burden to me. I'm just not like thinking about the people of the church and being opposite of being thankful. These people just drive me crazy. Right? But I'm thankful for each one of you. And what I want to, I read that verse just to say, build this kind of, listen to me, attitude. Thankfulness is an attitude. Attitude means a lot. Build this kind of attitude towards the people around you. Now, I've said this to you before, but let me remind you. When it comes to church, everybody that comes here is imperfect in some way, right? Though we are righteous through the work of Jesus, and he has forgiven our sins, we're working this thing out. As Philippians chapter 2 says, hopefully with fear and trembling, work out our salvation, right? But yet, when we come together, Eugene Peterson says, and I read this in a book by Eugene Peterson. He's a guy that I have admired from afar. He passed away. But he wrote a memoir called The Pastor. He pastored for many years. Very wise man. And I just love it. He captures what it means to be a pastor in such a way that speaks to my heart. And he wrote this, and when I read this sentence, I about fell out of my chair. And I copied it, I memorized it, and I think about it. He talks about church. He says, never get so focused on the mess that you miss the miracle. Because we can do that. You can get so focused on the mess, because we are imperfect people that get together. Sometimes we make a mess. That we can miss all the incredible things that God is doing, because all we do is focus on the problem and the issue. You know, I learned as a youth pastor, I learned that teenagers just can be obnoxious jerks. True story. How many know what I'm talking about? You know what I learned? We don't deny that there's things that need to be worked on and changed and grown up in and matured in. Certainly, that's a big part of it. But I learned never to... I was thinking this before I saw that quote, and that quote just put it all in the... That's what I've been thinking, but you wrote it in a way that I could grasp it. I never focused on all the mess that I missed the good. You know what I'm talking about? So you have a teenager standing there, and it's just easy just to see all what's wrong. We don't deny it, but sometimes you got to go, okay, you move this, you push this down, you put... Let me pull this out. This is good. Let's run with this. We can focus on the mess. We missed the miracle. So if you're involved with people like a church, and you always focus on the mess, you'll never be thankful for what's around you, because it's just, and that's all you think about. Listen to me, I'm telling you, listen to me. If two gather in his name, he is amongst them. Two or more, right? Listen to what I'm about to say. Two can gather, just two. You can think about this for your spouse. You can think about this to a friend. You can think about this to a gathering of a church. Two that come together can invoke his name. But all it does in the opposite way is take two to see a mess and just focus on that instead. So what do you want? Are we going to gather in his name with his presence abiding with us? Are we going to come together and just see all the mess and complain about it? Because I'm telling you, it just takes, those of you who are married, you know, it just takes two people to find a problem. Right? And you put 100 people there, you can find a lot of problems. But are we going to just focus on the mess? Or are we going to focus on what Jesus is up to? And if always you focus on the mess, you'll never be thankful for those in the faith with you. So I want to encourage you to be thankful for those around you, those in your church. When you're thankful, listen to me, when you're thankful, listen to me, I want you to love your church. I do. But part of loving your church is that you love the people that come there, because that's what the church is, people. Amen. And if you're thankful, listen, if you have an attitude of thankfulness for the people here, you're just going to want to be here. And you're going to be here as much as you can be here. And I don't like when I hear Listen, I'm spending most of my time on this. I had a whole bunch of other stuff to talk about, but we're rolling with this. I heard preachers in a pulpit say, you know, God takes your church attendance. And if you're not careful, you miss too much, he'll scratch you out of that book of life. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord Jesus, help our hearts. Good Lord. But yet, there's a reason why we're called to gather together. Right? I don't browbeat people about coming to church. People run away from church. I'll contact you, but I'm not going to chase you down the road and try to rope you here. I waste a lot of time doing that. But what I have found is that people are thankful for the church and the people of the church. They just like to come. And they'll be around more often than not. Right? Your salvation doesn't depend on being here a certain percentage of time above or below. But at the same time, you're absent from church, there's going to be strength missing from you, and there's going to be equipping missing from your life. There's a reason we're called together. Right? And I would say this, it's hard to be fully Christian in our context, in our day and age, without the church. Because of what happens in the theater of salvation working out in your life because we come together. The church may be the first place that you have to learn how to forgive somebody and stay with them because you can't, you can run to another church, but if you have a problem with somebody and you want to keep coming to this church, so do they, you're just going to have to work it out. And that's called life. But the Christian life. Church may be the first place you have to learn somebody that's not like you. Right? So the school I went to, at least in grade school, was, I would say, predominantly white. But we went to church with some people that were black. Church may be the first place you learn there's a lot of people that are different than you, and that's very much A-okay. They don't have to be like you. God loves them all. And you don't get to choose who he loves and who he doesn't love. Church makes you hang out with people that may not be in the same economic status as you. And you find, well, we're all just the same anyways. Right? I mean, church puts you in a spot where you have to learn to love. And listen to me, I've learned to be thankful for the diversity of the church. I want it. I've loved when I've had the opportunity to travel overseas. I've been to Honduras and to Africa. I've been to Mexico several times. You know, where else? Ecuador. I've been to Ecuador and did some fun things. I think I told you this not long ago. I got to preach in Quito, Ecuador, in a bull ring where they had bullfights. There were 4,000 plus teenagers there, and I got to preach to 4,000 Ecuadorian teenagers. Had a big altar call. I mean, hundreds of kids got saved. It was amazing. I love it. You know what I love about doing that is to see diversity of the body of Christ. Just amazing to see these things. And to be thankful for them. If you're thankful for people in your life, it's a good thing. Because what thankfulness does, it ultimately drives out grumbling and complaining. Because you can focus on the mess so much that when you leave church, all you do is grumble and complain about what you didn't like when you were there. Thankfulness says, yeah, I didn't like that. I'm going to go talk to the proper person. We're going to work this out. But man, it's okay. We're going to work this out because we have Jesus, and that's what we do. Amen. You know how many people leave a church because they're moaning, groaning, complaining about stuff? They're not willing to work it out. You know why? They've lost their thankfulness for what they had. Is that true? Yeah, I'm thankful for you. See, let me jump in another verse here. Colossians chapter 2. verse 6. So beyond that, this is the attitude of life. It says, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk with him. What does that mean? Walking with him is following him. Walking with him, listen, that's the context. When you walk with somebody, you're in a slowed down time of getting to know them. I want to walk with Jesus. You know what I do sometimes when I pray? I'm a walker. I don't sit much and pray. I built a bad habit when I was an intern, in my first internship when I was in college. We had to, the youth pastor made me, and with the other pastoral staff, we would show up at 6:30 on Thursday mornings to pray together. Me being the guy that I was, that did not mean in any regards that I would go to bed at a proper time on Wednesday night. We had church on Wednesday. We had youth. We're hanging out. We're talking late. You know, college kids wouldn't hang out after youth. I'd be getting home. Then I'd be driving a half hour into church the next morning at 6:30 to pray. So if I sat down, what would I do? I'd fall asleep. So I just learned to pray and walk. So I would stay awake. And then it developed a bad habit in my life. So I walk and pray. You know what I do sometimes? I think when I'm praying and I'm walking that Jesus is just walking with me. You really, then you know what I do? I walk slower. See, it gives me a good attitude that he's not off somewhere in space and I hope my prayers get there. Because where does the Holy Spirit reside? Right here. So I walk with him and I pray. And I know there's people who do all sorts of stuff. That, when I pray, I don't yell because, well, I don't have to. He's right here. If you get loud when you pray, I'm not against that. You can do what you want. That's you and Jesus. Me and Jesus, I walk with him in my heart. And I'm prayerfully conversating because I believe he's right here with me. So, yeah, to walk with him. Watch this, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. That's my desire for you and for me, that we are rooted, we're built up, and we are established. We're not going to be moved. Because this is just as you were taught. Now, with this, watch what Paul is saying, that we are abounding in what? Thanksgiving. This overflowing attitude of thankfulness. Listen, abound. When you abound in something, it's not just in you, it's coming out. Why would I abound in thanksgiving? Because I've received Jesus as my Lord. And I walk with him. As I'm walking with him, I'm being rooted. I'm being built up. I'm being established. And this causes me then to do this. Now watch this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When I'm abounding in thanksgiving, it'll show up like this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 16. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. Rejoice how often? Pray how often? Without ceasing. And I give thanks in what circumstances? When you have an attitude that flows out of that I have given and received myself, Jesus, and I'm walking with him. Now I'm being built up and rooted and established. That stuff will start to show up. I will really have an attitude of rejoicing, listen, at all times. I will learn to stay continually in that relational prayer life with him because that's where it's found. And then I will have the ability with this attitude to give thanks. Listen, Paul said that in all, every circumstance I'm in at that particular moment in my life, which sometimes may not be the best moment. How many of you find yourself every once in a while in a moment, it's just not that great? Be honest. True. Everybody, myself included. But you know what you can do in that moment? Still be thankful. Because, watch, that moment is it stealing your salvation? No. Is removing your ability to have your sins forgiven? No. Is that circumstance taking away your eternity with him? Absolutely not. Therefore, I can be always thankful because the biggest things in my life have been secured and taken care of by Jesus, my Lord. See, it's an attitude of life. I think some of us have got to start to change our thinking. We have the stronghold. Stronghold is a thought pattern process. We've got to deal with these strongholds that we have that, again, focus on the mess, always complaining. It's just the rhythm of your life of just always looking for what's wrong and what's bad and complaining about it. And we got to start breaking these things down and start into, instead of complaining today, because I can find something to complain about today, and start going, but I'm going to be thankful instead. And I can do this because Jesus is my Lord. Is that correct? And you catch yourself just complaining, just turn the faucet off. Just shut it down. And then maybe start to purposely think, but what can I be thankful for? I promise you, if you look hard enough, you'll find it. Matter of fact, here's how we're going to close. We got 2 minutes. Judy, help me out. Everybody get a card. If you don't have something to write with, kind of wave your hands around, and maybe Al can find you a pen. I'm not sure how many pens we have laying around. So if you're at home, watch this on live stream. I know I'm walking around. Hello. Go ahead and find something you can write on. Okay, grab one of these. There you go. Go, ladies. Or Tom. Got Pat there? There we go. All right. Here's what I want you to do. If you need something to write with, wave your hand around. This is what we do every year on Turkey Tuesday. You may remember this. At the top, I want you to write, I am thankful for. Two little dots there. What is the official word of that? Semicolons? Okay. Colon, whatever. My colon, I only have like 13 inches of it left. All right. But that's not the colon we're talking about. They took it out. I had cancer. I'm sorry. Not my fault. Say, I am thankful for. Then the first thing, I'm going to tell you the first thing to write. Right under it, I am saved. Okay? Then the rest of it, I want you to start writing down some things you're thankful for. And all of it flows out of your salvation. You're secure. You can be thankful in all situations. Why? I'm saved. That's the first thing, right? Now I want you to just write some things down you're thankful for. So we're actually gonna go off live stream in just a second. So if you're at home, we'll see you Sunday morning. Make your list out. Okay. Have a great Thanksgiving. But everybody else, I just want you to write down some things to be thankful for.